Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Hope you had a very happy Independence Day celebration yesterday. Hope you had a great 4th of July. Today is the 5th of July, and by the way, this is the anniversary of the Todd Starnes radio program. So it's a great day around here, and we'll celebrate a little bit later on. But I guess we should have brought cake. We have no cake. We'll see what we can do to remedy that. Anyway, it's a great honor to be with you today, and we've got a lot happening on the program. Wow, who would have thought? Cocaine in the White House. So we're going to check in with our good friend Robin Poffman, a great investigative journalist. She's our national correspondent here on the program, and we're going to get the very latest information on whose cocaine it is. Now, a lot of people believe it's Hunter Biden's cocaine, and if you were perhaps you weren't listening to the news over the past couple of days, there was a major national security scare at the White House. It involved shutting down the entire White House as well as all of the surrounding properties. It was a big deal. They brought in D.C. Fire Department, the hazmat team, and it turned out that somebody left a dime bag of cocaine in a working area of the White House. Now, a lot of people automatically assume that it belongs to Hunter Biden, but I'm not so sure about that. I mean, we're talking about cocaine here. Now, Hunter Biden may have abandoned his love child. I get that, but he's not gonna turn his back on a dime bag of cocaine. At least that's my thinking here. I mean, the man tried to smoke Parmesan cheese, for crying out loud. So he has an affinity for the white powder. I'm just saying. But then again, it could have. So all that to say, I don't think he did it. I don't think he would have left that behind. And by the way, the rumor is around Washington that Hunter Biden is actually living in the White House to avoid being served papers right now on the baby mama. That's the young lady from Arkansas who he took great liberties with. So anyway, the question then becomes, all right, well, whose cocaine is it? If it's not Hunter Biden's, whose cocaine? Well, I don't know. It could have been someone from the White House press corps because, you know, they're doing drugs. It could have been one of the young staffers because many of them probably cannot pass a drug test, or it could have been Kamala Harris. And all I'm going to suggest to you there is take a look at the interviews, the cackling, the laughing at inappropriate times, the constant fidgeting around. Something's not right there. No, I am not saying that Kamala Harris is a crackhead. I'm not saying the vice president of these great United States is a crackhead. But that cackle, that doesn't seem natural to me. So anyway, we're going to get into that in just a little while. I'm curious to hear from you. Whose cocaine do you think it is? Man, this has been a rough couple of weeks for the Biden administration. What, you've had the transgender activist running around buck naked on the White House lawn, shaking their moneymakers at the children. You've got Hunter Biden and the crack cocaine. You've got the Supreme Court gutting affirmative action. You've got the Supreme Court affirming religious liberty. And now you've got the federal judge telling the Biden administration to knock it off with the crackdowns on social media. And this has been a rough couple of weeks for the Biden administration. Well, I guess it could be. You see, I don't think it's Joe Biden's, but maybe that could be the little something-something that they're sprinkling in the porridge just to get him through the day. I don't know. But I'm not making any declarative statement here. I'm just saying we don't know. But I want to start out the program today with some things that happened over the weekend. And there's a lot of America bashing going on, and it's pretty despicable. in my estimation. And we've had a lot of people that have been attacking America. And I want to start with Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream people. And I don't know about you, but I used to love Ben and Jerry's. I was unaware of their political affiliations for the longest time. And I enjoyed the Cherry Garcia. I'm not gonna lie to you. I enjoyed Cherry Garcia. And also that other flavor, the Americone. I just put some duct tape over the face of Stephen Colbert. But I used to love those flavors. But once I started finding out about Ben and Jerry's and what they were using their money for and how much they hated this country, I don't know. Maybe it was just me and my mind and my great big huge palate that I have, the taste buds. Something happened, and I remember I remember it distinctly. I was eating some Ben and Jerry's, and it was just bitter. It did not taste good. It just tasted bitter. And I'm not so sure if it was the flavor or if it was just their politics. But I no longer eat Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I'm trying to lose some weight and I'm taking Calitrin. And we'll talk about that later. But I can't stomach Ben and Jerry's ice cream anymore. So anyway, Ben and Jerry's put out a statement yesterday on Independence Day. And they called on America to return its stolen indigenous land. Now, first and foremost, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't stolen diddly squat. As a matter of fact, we traded for the island of Manhattan. Turns out that was a bad trade for us. But we conquered lands. And for them to sit here and say, well, these were peaceful Indian people, and they were frolicking in the woods, and they were, I don't know, playing with a little Bambi. No, these many of the tribes, the Indian tribes in America, were savage. Yeah, why do you think they called them savages? I mean, these were very bad people. And by the way, when they conquered another Indian tribe, they not only had their way with the women and the children, but they also enslaved the men. So a lot of these Indians that the left loves to embrace, the indigenous people, they were not good and decent church-going people. They conquered their enemies, slaughtered them, took the men into slavery, and treated them horribly. Again, facts matter on this radio program. So anyway, Ben and Jerry's, they say, we've got to return this stolen land to the indigenous people. And they say that we have to start with Mount Rushmore. What is it with these people at Mount Rushmore? It just, for whatever reason, the faces of our founding fathers and Abe Lincoln, God rest his soul, the images of our founding fathers just sincerely trigger these people. So anyway, I wrote about this. I've got a column up, and a lot of you folks are weighing in on the question, should Ben and Jerry's face a Bud Light boycott? By the way, it's 100%. 100% of you say absolutely. So here's my take on this. First of all, if Ben and Jerry's wants to do this, if they believe that America should give back the stolen land, then I would contend they need to set the example. And today, Ben and Jerry's, they need to call a press conference, and they need to announce that they are hereby forthwith surrendering their corporate headquarters and all of their factories to the Indian people. And they don't care what you can do with it what you want. Want to put a casino up? Go for it. Have at it. All you can eat buffet? You go for it. Squanto burgers for everybody. So, but that's what they ought to do here. And by the way, it's not just the factories, but they're literally milking cows on stolen farmland. So who are we to? These are Indian cows. These are indigenous dairy cows, and that cream belongs to the tribal people. So I say Ben and Jerry's, just return all of it. You gotta give it all away. They've got to undergo a cleansing over at Ben and Jerry's HQ. By the way, I love this, and once I shared this quote, a lot of the news publications picked it up. But this is Oh, where is the quote here? This is from a, by the way, from John Rich. Hold on, I'm getting to this. Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. This is from a writer. And the writer of this really sums it all up in a way that, well, I just haven't seen conveyed before. And I think this is a brilliant, brilliant take on what's really going on with Ben and Jerry's. All right, here we go. My apologies. The computer is acting a little squirrely today. All right, here we go. And the author, Joseph Massey, who is an American writer, says, first, you need to apologize to the millions of cows you milked without consent. Your product is colonialist misogyny in the form of an overpriced dessert. Stop feeding the people cow trauma. Now, you know, this is a brilliant observation that Mr. Massey has here. At what point did the cows give consent to be milked? These cows, quite frankly, have been violated. I mean, there is a case here for bovine assault charges, right? I mean, I don't recall the cows being giving their consent. And so why should the American consumer of ice cream, maybe that's what the bitter taste is. I mean, maybe the cows need to go through therapy. So anyway, here's what I recommend, because I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that Ben and Jerry's is going to give up all of this stuff. So here's my take. Instead of surrendering the factories, why don't they just create a new flavor? You know, they do that. They create these new flavors. And they could donate all the proceeds to one of the local Indian tribes, like 100% of the proceeds. And here's my recommendation. They could call it Ben and Jerry's Half-Baked Dingleberries. How about that flavor? If I just vanilla ice cream with a lot of nuts, because they're slap crazy, and it's got to be half-baked, because only somebody smoking the devil's lettuce could come up with something like this. And with the dingleberries, I would just steer clear of the chocolate flecks in the ice cream. That's my take on this. But it's not just Ben and Jerry's and the half-baked dingleberry ice cream that people are talking about today. There are people who are literally triggered by Old Glory, by the American flag. So there was a man, and by the way, this happens to be all of the people who celebrate Juneteenth. So the Juneteenth celebrators are now attacking Independence Day. There's one guy in particular. And he's an African-American man, and he drove into a small town and promptly got triggered, cut number four.
So we're visiting in upstate New York near Poughkeepsie. Lots of farm country, lots of American flags and Blue Lives Matter flags, and it was really making me uneasy. And then we came to this cute little town called Hudson. I guess it's a famous whaling town. And I see a lot of flags like this. Totally felt my nerves come at ease. Isn't that interesting? I'm not even gay. I think that says a lot.
Uh-huh.
When the American flag freaks me the f*** out. And I see a few pride flags, and then I know I'm among nice people.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Just saying. All right. So let me get this straight, if you will. So you've got this black dude who, by the way, is wearing an ascot in the summertime, and he gets triggered by the red, white, and blue, the Star Spangled Banner. But once he sees the gay pride flag, he somehow feels more relaxed, more comfortable. That, and he's playing Macho Man. Dylan, you didn't add that sound, that audio in there, that musical. No, you did not. All right. So the guy was playing Macho Man, wearing an ascot in the middle of the summertime and embracing a gay pride flag. But he likes the ladies. Okay. All right. We'll leave that there. He's not the only one. We have members of Congress that are attacking America. We're going to get to some of their statements as well. And my question, ladies and gentlemen, is very simple. What message do you want to send to all of these people who hate America? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844 877-847-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Christine in Hendersonville, North Carolina. WHKP, our great station there. Hi, Christine. What's on your mind?
Hello. I would just like to comment on those that are against the American flag. Get out. Get the Sam Hill out of here.
Yeah, I'm with you, Christine. We have a saying in Tennessee, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. And I'm
right.
If these people are not happy here, perhaps they would enjoy, I don't know, Iran or Pakistan or, I don't know, Somalia.
Sure. And then that guy seeing the rainbow flag that, oh, gave him a peace of mind. Well, obviously he's not a Christian because that's God's promise. The rainbow is a signal of God's promise after he flooded the world.
Does it bother you, Christine, that the LGBT agenda, they have kind of co-opted words like gay, which used to be, you felt gay, you felt happy, you felt in a good mood.
Right.
And pride. So now pride, they've taken over pride. You're not allowed to use that word if you're heterosexual. And, of course, as you mentioned, the rainbow.
I'm going to do what I'm going to do as an American citizen. You can be offended if you want to, but I'm a patriot and I'm going to stand.
There you go. There you go. All right, Christine, we appreciate you listening. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Bill, WSIC, our great station there. Hi, Bill, what's up?
Hey, Todd, I hope you and your family had a good Independence 4th day.
Had a very good day. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Well, you know, I try to celebrate my day, but we obviously acknowledge it on one day out of the year, and that was yesterday. But for these people that don't like America and don't like the American flag, I got some little bit of money to decide that I don't need, and I'll go up, be glad to buy them a one-way ticket out of here. Their choice, north, south, east, west, doesn't matter, just away from America. If that's the way they, you know, it just aggravates me when people voice their opinions, which they need to do. But if you don't like where you're at and you don't like the situation, leave.
Bill, if you're a black man, the safest place for you to live in this world is the United States of America. We are, and again, all you have to do is go and interview all the people trying to break into the country on the southern border. They're not trying to get out. I don't see a lot of people fleeing into Mexico from the United States. I don't even see a lot of people fleeing into Canada from the United States. Little milquetoast country for me. But to your point, Bill, and I appreciate the call, if you don't love America, get out, ladies and gentlemen. Delta is ready when you are. And to the Congress people, and we're going to talk about them in just a few moments, I'm more than happy to pay for their ticket out of here. If you don't love it, leave it. That's what we say here. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
You beautiful people out there, welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program, celebrating our 6-year anniversary today. You know what's funny? A lot of people said, Stearns, when you leave Fox, that's going to be it. You're done. You've reached the zenith of your career and you're done. Well, it turned out that was not the case. We actually are broadcasting on more radio stations now than I ever was when I was working at Fox News. And we have seen tremendous growth. And the only people responsible for that are you. We have the greatest audience in all of talk radio. And I just want to say thank you. And especially those folks who have been with us from day one. Our good friend, Miss Janice from New Orleans, used to call into the national show when we were at Fox. Connor from Boston, who was just a young fellow then, and of course, Joe from LJ, some of our regulars, and we're just honored that so many of you call in. But anyway, today we're celebrating our 6-year anniversary, and I just want to say thank you for that. All right, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend and our national correspondent here on the program, Robin Poffman, joins us. Hey, Robin, how are you today?
I'm good. And, you know, I'm thinking about the first time I ever met you at Fox News Radio, 20-some-odd years ago?
Oh, my word.
Day, when you walked right through the door, you got hired right after I did, and we've been together ever since. And, yes, there is huge life after Fox. I think it's a good stepping stone place, and there's been so many people who have been extremely successful after that experience. I think everything is, you know, the doors keep on opening.
Robin, you and I were cubicle mates, and my first thought was, man, she must really like hard-boiled eggs in the morning. That was your breakfast of choice.
To this day, I still eat hard-boiled eggs every single day, and my husband now complains about the odor.
I love it. Well, honestly, our time at Fox, you were the best radio journalist they had in that building. And I tell you, it is a stepping stone, and you've gone on to great things in your career, and we're excited that you're just hanging out with us.
Oh, I really appreciate that, Todd. I think, you know, you everything in life is like a building block, right? And, you know, one door opens the next, and, you know, I went on to New Orleans and started hosting radio shows, and that led me to, you know, back to television, and then the Nancy Grace Show and Glenn Beck, and then back to you. And, you know, you just never, that's the great thing about life. You never know where you're going to end up. But I really applaud you. 6 years is great, but I can say I know you probably, close to 26, or
yeah,
maybe it is 26.
I think you're in at least like 4 chapters in my memoir that I'm working on. So.
Yeah, the crazy cube mate who ate hard boiled eggs and still does for breakfast from Jersey.
I love it. Robin, let's talk about this. This is a Robin Poffman story. When I heard what happened at the White House and what they discovered, I thought there's no one on the planet who can talk about this better than Robin Poffman. So the question is, whose cocaine did they find at the White House?
Yeah, and just to clear that up, not because I have ever done drugs, because let me tell you, in 1986, for those of us old enough to remember, I was living in Washington, D.C., and Len Bias at the University of Maryland did cocaine, a very famous ball player, and he was 22, and he dropped dead from cocaine. So all the white powder that I saw people doing back in the day in college and in high school, I avoided it like the plague. And I will tell you that this cocaine that has turned up in the White House is very disturbing on so many levels. I think the Secret Service, if I was a Secret Service agent or in charge of the agency, the first, you know, my husband always says, when you hear a horse, don't look for a zebra. So to that end, why don't we just do a little drug test on the person who has had in the past a drug problem and see if there's any cocaine in his system? That would be step one.
You know, Robin, something's not right there. You know, when you look at the past couple of weeks, Hunter Biden has literally been at the president's side. It's like they've been attached, whether they're going to Camp David, and they were back at Camp David, or the weekend. They were at the state dinner together. They were at the 4th of July celebration on the balcony of the White House yesterday. It's as if they're trying to keep him on a short leash.
I could not agree with you more, and that is also my analysis of the situation, that Daddy is watching him and looking out for him, and perhaps he's gone back. Again, you know, I don't like to assume anything. I think you have to go and do a blood test and get the facts, right? You know, you can say someone looks thin, right? But get on a scale so we actually know the number. Well, if someone looks like they're doing drugs, well, the only way you're really going to know is by the blood work. So I think that they should go to the most obvious place first. But it really, really is suspicious. And then they're, you know, this leaks out over a weekend when everyone is kind of fast asleep and in July 4th mode. And you kind of wonder, how did this really even leak out in the first place? And then are they going to say it's attached to him or not, or pin it on somebody else? I don't know. The whole story is very unnerving to me on so many levels. And I really do not think that it was some sort of tourist who checked a cell phone and then all of a sudden there's white powder in a cubby. I don't know. The story, you know, like when people tell a lie, and the lie gets more and more elaborate, and it gets weirder and weirder. I think in this case, we need to go with the most obvious thing, and the most obvious thing would be to do a drug screening that you could easily buy at any pharmacy, CVS, Walgreens, wherever, and do a drug test on the most obvious person that would be dabbling in cocaine.
Now, Robin, I want to, while all that is happening, and then you've got, what is it, a couple of weeks ago, you had the topless transgender activist on the lawn of the White House. You know, had any of this happened during Trump's 4 years in office, which, by the way, none of that did, but had it happened, this would have been wall-to-wall news coverage, and I'm just stunned that the mainstream media has completely ignored the fact that an entire swath of Washington, D.C. was put on lockdown over this bag of cocaine.
Yeah, it's insane to me that, you know, you're having, you know, nudity of any kind on the White House, whether it's gay or straight or pride or not pride. It's just inappropriate behavior. It reminds me of, you know, during Obama, during the Obama administration, I used to hate when I would see people wearing flip-flops going in and out of the White House. I just thought that it was like a level of disrespect. I don't know, when I used to work in the White House press room years ago as an intern for the Baltimore Sun, again in my college days, I was always dressed up. You know, this was during Reagan's term in the 80s, and I would always dress appropriately to go through security and, you know, up my game, if you will. And it just kind of, it's just sloppy and it's unnecessary. And it's not, we need to restore class to the White House. We shouldn't have anybody running around naked. We shouldn't be having drug parties. There shouldn't be remnants of drugs. All of this is just so classless. It's so disturbing.
And stop sniffing the hair of the children. It's creepy.
And that too, Todd. I don't know. I'm very uneasy about this story, and I don't like to point fingers at anyone. And I guess my question back to you would be, do you really think, Todd, that they're going to go and test the president's son, or do they already know And that's why it's kind of a rhetorical. Maybe they already know, and that's why Daddy is watching over him, like you say, and keeping him on the short leash.
Yeah, I think they already know. However, just for the sake of, you know, and again, there's plenty of evidence there, but I think the guy loves cocaine so much that he would not leave a bag just laying around. He'd have that on his person. So my my thinking was White House press corps, or, and I'm not saying this, Robin, but that cackle from Kamala, it is just, that's not weird. That's not natural. And so if I'm doing drug testing, I'm going by the Naval Observatory as well.
Hey, you know what you do? You just do a blanket. You know, like when you get hired at a job back in the day at Fox, you know, or if you're driving a company car at a radio station, what's the first thing they do? You go for the urine test.
Got to go for the test.
Standard procedure. I would run tests on everybody. They're so big on coronavirus testing. Why don't they do the urinalysis? And then you'd have real answers. And anyone who's testing positive for drugs, see ya. Have a nice day.
Robin Poffman on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I want to get your take on another story that dropped during, you know, this happened about 2 days ago and did not get a lot of play because of the holiday. But there is a report out there that the White House gave orders to only acknowledge six of the Biden family's grandchildren. And so they are intentionally omitting Hunter Biden's four-year-old love child with the gal from Arkansas, and her name is London Alexis Roberts. And so they actually, Jill and Joe, gave orders, and I suspect it was really Jill who did this, but this is according to the New York Times, that that they're only saying that the Bidens have six grandkids. And I mean, what a horrible thing. What a monstrous thing, Robin, to completely ignore your grandchild.
It is horrendous, and it's so hurtful. And again, I go back to, you know, I've covered, crime most of my career. And, you know, we have a thing called DNA. And the court, I believe it was in Arkansas, the judge there, you know, straight out of the gate said, okay, we're going to do a DNA test here and get to the bottom of it. Either you're the baby daddy or you're not. And the test shows that he is, you know, 99% certainty or more the father of this child. The little girl looks like him, too. And I will tell you that it's a disgrace, and it speaks to bigger things. You know, what kind of family are you? What kind of people are you that you're not acknowledging this child? I think the whole thing is a complete disaster. And if it gets too hot in the kitchen, they're going to get rid of Hunter. They're going to send him off to the funny farm to get help for however long. They're going to go send him to a rehab center and lock him down and just say that he's lost his mind and possibly has gone back to drugs or who knows what. But it's going to be very easy to get him off the stage by saying that he has a drug problem again, if in fact that's the case.
Fascinating stuff. All right, Robin, we're going to leave it there. Good hearing from you. Did you have a good 4th of July?
Not really. Stayed inside. A lot of banging, a lot of fireworks. I just did not. I participated by watching it on television and just working.
There you go.
Kind of laying low. But I, you know me, I'm a big patriot. I always wear my flag, and I have flags all outside in the courtyard of my home.
Love it.
I'm proudly waving my American flag today.
All right, Robin, always good hearing from you. Robin Poffman, ladies and gentlemen, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right. Does that surprise you, this report from the New York Times, that the Bidens are telling staff members, we only have six grandkids? No, but we only have six grandkids. But what about we only have six grandkids? Now, this little girl, this precious, sweet little girl, is 4 years old. How do you think she's going to respond and react when she finds out that her grandfather, the president of the United States, rejected her and refused to acknowledge her existence? By the way, part of the settlement agreement that Hunter Biden shoved into the little girl's mother's face is that the daughter would not take the Biden last name. So that little girl, and quite frankly, I think that ultimately is going to be a blessing for this child. But what kind of a family would reject a sweet, innocent little four-year-old girl like that? What kind of a family does that? I'm going to tell you what kind of a family. Right now at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you're looking at white trash. That's what you're looking at. These people, the Bidens, white trash. All right, got to take a break. We're going to your calls next, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back. And NBC News has a breaking news alert. They are now confirming that the substance, the white powder found inside the White House, was in fact cocaine. Do we have that? Let's take a listen.
And turning to some breaking news, we have just learned that a formal lab has confirmed the suspicion that that white powdery substance found in the West Wing on Sunday was in fact positive for cocaine. The discovery led to a brief evacuation of the White House Sunday night. Joining us now is NBC White House correspondent Mike Memoli. So, Mike, where do things stand now? This is so unusual. You and I have covered the White House for years. I can't even fathom anything like this having been found before in the West Wing, and I go back to the 70s at the White House. So this is pretty wild.
It's absolutely extraordinary, Andrea. And this new conclusive test confirms what had been the preliminary field test conducted by D.C. fire personnel who were called in on Sunday night after the discovery of this suspicious substance by a uniformed officer in the Secret Service that was conducting a routine patrol of the White House. And so to recap on the developments from that we've been reporting on yesterday, this was found, we understand, in a highly trafficked common area of the West Wing. It's an area where individuals, especially visitors, individuals who may be coming for instance, a private tour, might have been asked to leave some of their personal belongings before heading into more sensitive areas of the West Wing, which, of course, includes the president's, the vice president's office, some of the most senior officials' offices, as well as the press team and a number.
All right, there you go. So there, it's official. Cocaine found in the Biden White House. White trash living in the White House. All right, let's go to the phones here. Tina in North Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Tina. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to make a point. I'm sure most of your listeners know this, but every time I turn on the news, everybody, left wing, right wing, they're all talking about a democracy that we live in. Well, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a representative republic, which is completely, not completely different, but it's very different. And it just, I heard Eric Bolling last night say republic for the first time. I had never heard anybody say it really lately. And it just bugs me because it's just so different. Mob rules versus the representatives of the people.
You know, that is an excellent point, Tina. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand our form of government. And we've got, I would say, the kids growing up in the 90s and definitely the 2000s, they didn't learn anything about our form of government, our way of life. So I think there's something to this.
Well, everybody wants us to think we live in a democracy, and we don't.
It's a great point. Tina, we're going to run. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Joe in Ellijay, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Todd, congratulations on 6 years. You got a wonderful talk show, and I just want to say we're having a big event at Pooh's Barbecue Saturday. The Trump bus is coming, and Mallory Staples, who's head of the Georgia Freedom Caucus, she's going to be speaking, and she grades politicians and gives those that vote for pork a bad grade and those that vote to save taxpayers' money a good grade. So we're real excited about her, but I wanted to mainly congratulate you on 6 years. You've got a great talk show, and a lot of your fans will be at Pooh's Barbecue in Ellijay here Saturday, but proud of you. And
well, thank you, Joe.
To the taxpayers, and you're going to bring us a win in November 24.
Well, we're going to do our best, and Joe, hope you guys have a great turnout there at the world-famous Pooh's Barbecue. Great barbecue, by the way. I actually have a pig on the Pig Hill of Fame there, so there you go. Hey, hang tight, folks. Hour two coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. Trust you are doing well. And all this week, we're celebrating the six-year anniversary of the Todd Stearns radio program. We are now broadcasting on nearly 150 radio stations across America, and we're mighty honored by that. By the way, I want to thank our good friend Andy Hoosier from our affiliate in Wichita, Kansas, KQAM. Andy filled in for me earlier this week. Greatly appreciated that. I needed to take some time off. I'm doing the final book edits, and I had a lot of work going on there. And by the way, ate brunch at a brand new joint here in Memphis, right around the corner from the radio studios, a place called the Liquor Store. And it's not every day that you hear Todd Stearns going down to the Liquor Store to have breakfast. But I got to tell you, if you're in Memphis, Tennessee, you need to make a pit stop. I have no idea why they call it the Liquor Store. The working theory is the building used to be a liquor store, and then they built this incredible diner. But it's got a little Cuban flair to it. So if you're in this area, head over to the Liquor Store and have some brunch. And tell them Todd Stearns sent you. I know, I've already got a text message from my pastor. That's not going to be good. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us a great American patriot. She is a host of one of the most important podcasts in America, the Monica Crowley Podcast. And Monica joins us. Monica, hope you're doing well.
Hey, it's so great to join you as always, Todd, and especially during this Freedom Week, marking Independence Day. Thank you so much for having me back. And I love Memphis, and I would love to go check out the Liquor Store.
All right, Monica, we're bringing you to Memphis one of these days for an event, and so I will take you to the Liquor Store for great food.
That's great. I can't wait.
I love it. All right, Monica, let's get started. We have a lot to talk about. And of course, the big story, I think, is what happened over the past couple of days with these liberals going after America. We've been following what Ben and Jerry's has to say, and now the squad is slamming America on the 4th of July. What do you make of this hatred of our country?
Well, there are a lot of communists making themselves known these days, and also a lot of demons making themselves known these days. You know, certainly throughout our history, we just marked Independence Day, 247th birthday for America. Certainly since its founding, this country has been under spiritual attack because the country has been grounded and founded on Judeo-Christian principles. So we have been under spiritual attack, and that spiritual attack has taken many forms, whether it was the tyranny of the British, whether it was the Civil War, whether it was the Great Depression, the Cold War. But since the end of World War II, we have certainly been under Marxist attack, and Marxism is completely demonic. It's totally satanic. Karl Marx was definitely a weapon of the enemy, and with this country has been under that kind of assault now for decades and decades. And normally, you know, over the past couple of decades, as they've waged this war, Todd, they've usually done it on the down low, you know, like on the QT, they infiltrated our institutions and our culture and everything else, but tried to keep their heads low because they didn't want to attract attention to what they were doing. Now, the communists are right out there. The AOCs, the Bernie Sanders, the Elizabeth Warrens, all of the people pulling Joe Biden's strings, they are all very out there in terms of who they are, what they believe, what they are doing to the country, and their end game, which is to destroy the country. And it stems from an absolutely evil hatred of everything that this country was built upon, individual liberty, fiscal responsibility, strong military, economic freedom, capitalism, all of the things that made America great, they consider to be horrendous and need to be destroyed. Now, the only way to get to their end game, which is them in total control of America, but the ultimate globalist end game of a one world government with them in control, is to destroy America. So all of these people who have been talking down America and assaulting us from all sides, from within, they have a much bigger agenda here, and they are telling us exactly who they are and what they intend to do. And it is only the fool who disregards what they are telling us.
Look, I think that's a brilliant analysis of this. And then when you look at what's happening right now across Europe, especially in France, where their open borders policies have destroyed that country, and they are in the middle of an Islamist revolution over there that has been cracked down on by social media. So we're not even getting the full story about what's happening in France. But then you look at what's happening here in this country, Monica. Just yesterday, you had Somalis literally attacking police officers in Minneapolis, and the videos that are circulating on social media, it looks like a war zone in of all places, Minneapolis.
Yeah, and I think this is just a prelude for what's to come next year as well. Look, everything that Joe Biden has done and his puppeteers, everything they've done in the last 2.5, going on 3 years now, has all been by design. None of this is incompetence, even though Joe Biden can't find his pants every morning. This is all by design, and it was started a long time ago. It certainly accelerated under Barack Obama for 8 years, the deliberate takedown of America. And people forget Joe Biden was Barack's right-hand guy executing that for 8 years. Donald Trump caught them all flat-footed in 2016, started to put the country back on track. They could not abide that. So what did they do in 2020 to stop Donald Trump and the America First movement? Well, they launched a virus. They shut down the global economy. They had BLM and Antifa burn down America. And then they rigged the election with mass mail-in voting, early voting, ballot harvesting, all of the tricks of the trade that the left does so well. So that was their crisis plan in 2020 to stop Trump and America First. And I'm really worried about what is going to be their crisis for next year. Is it going to be a new, more deadly pandemic? Are they going to have the kinds of riots that we're now seeing in France brought here? Are they going to burn down the country again? So let's start thinking proactively. I am not confident that the people on our side, like Ronna McDaniel and the RNC and state GOP organizations, et cetera, even the Trump campaign, or the DeSantis campaign, frankly, or anybody, are they prepared for what is going to come at them? I had President Trump on my podcast about 3 weeks ago. I asked him this question. He said that they were prepared for all contingencies, including Michelle Obama at the top of the ticket for the Democrats, Gavin Newsom at the top of the ticket, you name it. He claims that they are prepared. And I said, Mr. President, I hope you are. And I hope you're working on all these contingencies now, because our side, Todd, always lacks imagination. What does the enemy have coming at us? What can we anticipate? How do we prepare? The other side does not suffer from that. They have tremendous imagination for destroying the country. So we all need to be on guard and prepared and make sure that all of our elected representatives from, you know, Donald Trump, who's running all of the candidates, all the way down to your local dog catcher, is ready for what the left has ready to go for next year.
You know, Monica, on that note, I'm just curious to get your take on DeSantis. I just don't get it. I noticed that his campaign was out of sorts, and this was months ago. But you've got Donald Trump out there generating between 50 and 75,000 people in a small town of only, what, 3,000 folks. It was unbelievable. Even Politico was astounded by the crowd and the statement that Trump made with that crowd. Then you have Ron DeSantis walking in the rain in New Hampshire, and hardly anybody is shaking the guy's hand. What happened? I mean, he was supposed to be the second coming of Donald Trump.
Yeah, you know, it's really unfortunate for Governor DeSantis, who literally is the best governor in the entire country. He's been an extraordinary governor. He turned Florida around. He kept it free when we were under assault during COVID. He's got a fantastic record. He is just unbelievable. And I thought he should wait until 2028 because, look, there is a huge difference between being a very effective governor of a major state and running for president. And then it's something else entirely to run for president against Donald Trump. So he is like two steps behind what needs to be done. Pre-2015 and Trump, Ron DeSantis would be the automatic Republican nominee because he is that good. But Donald Trump came on the scene and so smashed the paradigm of what we all expect and want in a presidential candidate and, frankly, in a president, that if you can't get that, and you certainly can't match it, you're going nowhere fast. And when you add all of that, Todd, on top of the emotional bond, not political, not ideological, emotional, that Trump's voters have with him, 75 million people last time around voted for him, the emotional bond where people cannot wait to vote for him again. Now, I know he's got his haters, mostly in the press, in the deep state, the Democrats, etc. But I'm talking about his core and beyond, Republicans, independents, disaffected Democrats who feel like he has gotten screwed over since the day he came down that escalator. They cannot wait to vote for him again. And frankly, Todd, that is insurmountable for any Republican challenger.
Monica Crowley is host of the Monica Crowley podcast. Folks, you gotta listen to Monica's podcast. I mean, she's got all the A-listers, including President Trump, sitting down for long-form interviews, and it's just a great, great podcast. Monica, real quick, we were talking in the first hour about the news. NBC News now confirming that the white powder was, in fact, cocaine. Monica, I'm not necessarily surprised by this. What I am surprised about is that the White House made this public, or that somebody made this public. And I'm wondering if forces are afoot now to force Joe Biden's hand to get him to step aside in 2024.
Absolutely. That's 100% true. We always have to think the way the left thinks and play chess the way they play chess. Hunter Biden was in that White House 2 days before they discovered this white powder turning out to be cocaine. I'm not saying it's Hunter's, although he's had a long history of substance abuse. I don't know who was doing the cocaine in the White House. I don't know how it got in there. The White House is supposed to be a fortress. By the way, the President of the United States is the nation's chief law enforcement officer, and he's got cocaine and illicit substance floating around the White House. The whole thing is so corrupt and so low class, it's just unbelievable. But to your point, the only reason we know about this massive bribery scheme and the only reason we know about the coke now and the other things is because the left power brokers want Joe Biden gone. That's it. If they didn't want him gone, there's no way you would have known about this coke in the White House. So once again, keep your eye on the bigger picture. We will not be running against Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. It will be a different Democrat. Mark my words.
All right, Monica Crowley, we're gonna mark this one, folks, because Monica is never wrong. And so we'll get you back.
I don't know about that, Todd. There was only one perfect person to walk the earth, and that was Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. All right, Monica, we're going to leave it there. Look forward to taking it out of the liquor store in Memphis for some great grub. So you're going to love it.
I look forward to that. And the Monica Crowley podcast this week, please go check it out. Go check out last month's interview with President Trump. It was an extraordinary conversation. And then yesterday's show, I talk about July 4th and the need to renew the fight for America. As well as Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, talking about his new film, Sound of Freedom. And then tomorrow I've got the great Carrie Lake.
That's wow. Great stuff. Monica Crowley, everybody. Monica, gotta run. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. By the way, we're waiting on the White House press briefing. I want to know who is the first reporter to ask about the cocaine. But folks, hear me on this. It's just not coincidental that this leaked out. I guarantee you they have found cocaine in the White House plenty of other times, but they're forcing Biden's hand here. That's what's going on. All right, we got to take a break. We're opening up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That's our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
At Vast National Bank, we value our billions of customers. Whether you're in Dubai or Tokyo or just London, we care. So bank big with us. Sure, your local community bank may seem friendly and helpful. Their small business loans may even help your town grow and prosper or whatever. But would they help you liquidate an offshore account to bedazzle your private jet? No.
Bank with a community bank and help your community grow. Find yours at banklocally.org.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, celebrating 6 years on the air, and we're mighty thankful for you. By the way, a lot of folks have been asking about an advertising-free version of my column, and the reason we have the Google ads is because we have to pay our bills. We have created a Substack, and there is a charge, and it's the lowest, whatever the lowest amount was we could charge is what we're charging. It's like $5 a month or $4.99 a month or something like that. So head over to Substack, and you'll be able to search us and find us there, the Todd Starnes Morning Edition. And we'd love for you to sign up, and you're going to be advertising free. You don't have to worry about the pop-up ads and all that kind of stuff. And we never sell your information. So we make that promise to you. All right, let's go to the phones here. Ernie in Morehead City, North Carolina, wants to talk cocaine in the White House. Ernie, what you got for us?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you, Todd, for your 6 years.
Well, thank you, Ernie. I appreciate that.
You're about the best thing on that here on our local radio station. So,
well, thank you.
Take that as it is.
All right.
Anyway, I don't know if you're familiar with the it's kind of a Greek thing or whatever, Occam's razor theory. And what it is, it's very simple. What looks like the most obvious answer is usually the most obvious answer. Now, who lives in the White House right now? Hunter Biden. Who's a cocaine addict? Hunter Biden. Where was cocaine found? In the White House. I think it's cut and dried.
Ernie, I'm with you on that. Unless, of course, and you know somebody's doing, there's going to be a story over the next couple of days. It was Donald Trump. Somehow he snuck into the White House and he planted the cocaine there just so that Hunter Biden could get in trouble. But that you watch. Somebody is going to, that will be someone's theory, is that Trump is responsible.
I don't know about that, but I think there's someone's going to take the fall for Hunter's cocaine.
Well, yes, but Ernie, I suspect this is not the first time that cocaine has been discovered in the White House. This is the first time they wanted us to know there was cocaine in the White House. So I'm wondering who behind the scenes leaked all of this to the authorities. I mean, it was a massive story over the weekend. People didn't know what was going on. And then, of course, we now officially know that it was cocaine. Ernie, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening to us. When we come back, we're going to Connor in Boston. We're going to open up the phone lines. What do you think is the theory here? What is your theory about the cocaine? Also, some great news coming from the federal courts, and we're going to talk to you about that, as well as Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Boy, the secularists picked the wrong governor to try to bully. We're going to tell you that story as well. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana, the official wordsmith of the United States Senate, weighing in on the Hunter Biden situation.
Look, I don't know if Mr. Hunter Biden committed a crime. I sure don't know if President Biden committed a crime. We're trying to get the facts. But I do know this, and I think the American people can see it. The Washington managerial elite, the establishment, if you will, is working harder than an ugly stripper to cover up whatever happened. And that's all that Congress is asking for, is the facts.
Yeah, those ugly strippers, they have to work very hard. I mean, they have to go the extra mile, I suppose, but take a twirl or two around the pole there at the Pink Pony. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Connor in Boston. Connor, what's on your mind today?
Well, first off, Todd,
happy belated Independence Day, and an even bigger congrats on 6 years of excellence in broadcasting. It's incredible, for sure.
Well, you're kind to say that, Connor. And, of course, you were a part of our crew back when we were at Fox, and we sure do appreciate you making the jump over to hang out with us.
100%. You know, best radio show on air. But, Todd, I'm going to tell you right now, I am disgusted by the fact that cocaine was found in the White House. I mean, how does that even get in there? And I remember back during the 2016 election, Trump was on stage debating Hillary Clinton. And one thing that was from the way he was breathing or the way he was using his microphone. And I think I remember reading or hearing an article from CNN about that's a common sign for somebody who uses cocaine for the way he was breathing and that he should be drug tested. Well, I think if that's the case, then they should drug test every single person going in and out of that way who has access to the president and is going in and out of the White House, aside from visitors. I think that this is an incredible threat. It would explain a lot if the president is on cocaine, if he is, or if somebody else on his staff, or maybe it's his deadbeat son. And if that's the case, then on his 4473, is this just another lie that he submitted when he submitted that application?
You know, Connor, it's fascinating to watch all of this play out. Yesterday, President Biden up on the stage, and again, whenever he's up on a stage, he gets lost and doesn't know what to do. Yesterday was especially bad, and they almost had to drag him off the stage yesterday at the White House 4th of July festivities. So you do wonder what's going on there.
That's the thing. I don't think there's anything going on up there. And if he's using, you know, anything like that, that's another concern. But I would suggest for Senator Kennedy, you know, don't say ugly strippers because you're going to get Hunter excited, and we don't want that.
No, that's very wise. That's a very fair point.
That's his type right there. So.
All right, Connor. Good hearing from you. Thank you again. it's a good point. Let's go to Maine, WLOB, Mike on the line. Hi, Mike. What's up?
How are we doing, Todd?
Good, hey, good.
Congrats on the 6 years from WLOB Radio.
Well, you're kind to say that. You know, our very first two stations, and we have to get both of y'all bragging rights, WLOB and WDUN were the first two stations to sign up with the show.
Yeah.
Y'all were there from the beginning.
That's right. Now, I'm good friends with your buddy, Ray Richardson.
Great American patriot, Ray Richardson is.
Yeah, he is. So, listen, I was a security contractor for the Department of Defense for almost 30 years. Now, let me tell you, if this cocaine was found in any department where anyone was working, everyone would be lining up at the bathroom. Everyone, no exceptions, to take a drug test. Now, these employees in the White House are no different. They're federal employees. Everyone in the West Wing should be lining up and getting ready to take a drug test. And under your federal contract, if you're caught with drugs, you're all done.
I mean, that is to your point, that is a serious national security risk right there. Whether somebody is doing cocaine, somebody has been co-opted, and they're being blackmailed. I mean, you're in the business, Mike. You would know the dangers involved in having those drugs, those illegal drugs, found in the White House.
We already have a compromised White House as it is. So, you know, the employees, if they're compromised too, it wouldn't surprise me one damn bit.
All I can tell you, Mike, and during my time working at the White House during the Obama years and working in the press room, is you have to go through some pretty tough security to get into the building. And so it's not like you can just walk in, which is a bit surprising that somebody would have been able to walk in with that cocaine, unless they were a member of the first family.
I think your theory on the leak could be correct, too. This just doesn't pop out.
Yeah.
They would have covered this with everything they had. This leaked out on purpose.
And Mike, to your point, I mean, the severity of all of this, if in fact this was some sort of a rando thing, you would have also, I mean, this was a massive security breach, and they're not treating it like that. So that's what's odd.
Yep. All right.
Mike.
For the 6 years, Todd.
Appreciate you, sir. You give us a holler back, and Mike knows his stuff, ladies and gentlemen. So something is just off about this whole story, and I still believe that this was intentionally leaked, and maybe, just maybe, Biden hasn't gotten the message yet that he's not running. He may think he's running in 2024, but Barack Obama, Susan Rice, yeah, he's not running. He's not running. And sooner or later, he will get the message on that. All right, let's go to Ron in North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Ron. What's up?
Hi, Mr. Stallings. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I was, as I was telling your screener, you know, Hunter, I think we need to back up just a little bit and give him benefit of the doubt. I think everyone in that building should have been drug tested. Now, is it most likely he is? Very good possibility. But however, you know, he is recovering. He's admitted what he's done. I think we should give him benefit of the doubt. Just like if, you know, you get caught stealing a car, you're innocent until proven guilty, you know. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to take up for him. I just think that we should back up him because, I mean, I don't like him any more than anybody else, but, you know.
Well, the issue here, Ron, is not that, it's not whose cocaine it was. I think the broader issue is, why did they allow this story to leak? Because we all, let's, for the sake of the argument, let's just say it's not Hunter's, but we all know about his background. We know that he has an addiction to cocaine, and all of a sudden, we've got cocaine being found in the White House in a secure area. Who do you think is going to be the first person they point to?
Oh, absolutely.
But and that's the point.
As I said, I believe everyone in that building should be drug tested. You know, just to weed everybody out.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I mean.
All right.
And that's my opinion, but, you know.
It's a good opinion. But again, Ron, I think the broader issue here is not whose it is, it's why did they leak it. Because it doesn't matter if it's Hunter's or not. Everybody's going to always assume that it was his. Ron, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, when we come back, I don't know if you guys remember Dear Abby. Back in the day, and gather the children around the radio, but back in the day, there was something called a newspaper. And in the newspaper, they had different sections of the newspaper. One of them was the cartoons. They had a sports section, opinion section. And typically in the lifestyles, the lady pages of the newspaper, they would have an advice column. And Dear Abby was the big advice column. And you would write a letter in, and Dear Abby would answer your question. So anyway, there is one that involves a woman who is a progressive, and she is very upset because her daughter was disrespected. And the disrespect involves a bride who told a conservative uncle that he was not welcome to attend the wedding. And we're going to read some of this because I'm curious to get your take on it and how you would have handled this particular issue. But this is not Dear Abby. This is Ask Amy. And here's what the woman had to say. Dear Amy, 4 months ago, four months before my daughter's wedding, she told me that her uncle, my brother Dave, would make her feel unsafe if he was a guest. And so she asked me not to invite Uncle Dave. My daughter is very politically progressive, as are many of her friends. And although she and Uncle Dave have always had a good relationship, he is a conservative voter and has supported candidates that we all abhor. Wow, that has to be Trump. Dave has always been nice. Golly, bub. You know, I'm trying to read this from my computer, and it's all the pop-ups. They drive me nuts. Dave has always been very nice, so my daughter's request surprised me. So I wrote Uncle Dave a very nice note telling him that he would not that we would not be comfortable with him at the wedding and that he would not be invited. Dave did not respond and did not attend. Afterward, I sent him a card and pictures from the wedding, all in an effort to make him feel like he was not being totally left out. I have not heard from Dave since then. When my siblings found out what I had done, they were angry with me. That is just one problem. Another problem is that Dave has not sent my daughter or my son-in-law a wedding gift. In the past, Dave has always given family members wedding checks in excess of $1,000. She says she was counting on receiving the same type of gift. My husband says I should drop it, but I can't. Dave's behavior is upsetting and embarrassing to me. So how can I get my brother to recognize and change his petty behavior? Please don't tell me that I'm the one who started this, because I'm not. After all, he's a grown man, Uncle Dave is, while my daughter is young and just starting out, angry in Philadelphia. So, ladies and gentlemen, what would you do in a situation like this? You've got a progressive family member, and they don't want you, Mr. Conservative, Uncle Dave, to show up at your wedding. Instead, they just want you to send over the check. So I don't know who this Ask Amy person is, but I kind of liked her response. So here's how she responded to this. Dear Angry, let's recap. Your delicate daughter is too frightened to be near a conservative voter to allow her Uncle Dave to attend her wedding. She then asks you to do her dirty work for her, and of course you do. Fine. So far, we have only a bride's prerogative to create her own guest list and her mother's choice to protect her from any consequences. You then rub the excluded guest nose in the wedding by sending him photos of the event, which he has pointedly not been invited to. But it's your second problem, which I believe will enter the Bridezilla Hall of Infamy. In short, brides who are too afraid of family members to invite them to a family wedding do not then get the pleasure of receiving their money. You seem almost as afraid of your daughter as she is of your brother, but I hope you'll find a way to courageously tell her that the bank of Uncle Dave is closed, at least to your branch of the family. So far, your silent brother is the only family member who's behaving properly. He's steering clear, which is exactly what you have asked him to do. Well, good for you, Amy. I have no idea who she is, but good for Amy. Jeez, Alou. Folks, I'm telling you, these progressives are slap crazy nuts. Uncle Dave, you know what I would, here's what I would have done if I had been Uncle Dave. I would have taken that $1,000 and I would have gone on a very nice lavish vacation. Then I would have sent the bride to be photographed saying, thank you for funding my vacation. That's what I would have done. All right, let's go to John in Kentucky, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. John, what are your thoughts on this Ask Amy column?
Okay, first of all, take all the pictures, you know, of all the wedding party and put little faces of Donald and Melania Trump on all the faces. Take one penny or half a penny, it's up to you, tape it to the picture and send it back to them, postage due.
Oh, I love that. Look, John, it's the craziest thing. But, you know, this is, I guarantee you there are other families out there dealing with this. And I blame Barack Hussein Obama, because back in the day, he told all these kids, and all these were young people when this happened. He told the kids, you get in the faces of your family members. You be a disruptive force at Thanksgiving and Christmas. You're not allowed to do any sort of family events unless you were there to cause dissent and to sow seeds of anger and division. And a lot of these kids bought into this hook, line, and sinker, and now you got poor Uncle Dave, who was ostracized from the family just because he supported President Trump. Unbelievable.
So just like I said, little pictures of Donald J. Trump and Melina over the faces and a half a penny, and tell them that's about how much you're making our relationship worth.
I love it.
I hope.
All right. John, I hate to do this. We have got to run. We are super late for a break. Folks, this is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let me explain this. If you're on hold right now, do not go anywhere. We're going to get to your calls right after the top of the hour news break. Sorry, I was not watching the clock. So hang tight. Don't go anywhere. I do want to go to Mark in Portland, Maine, WLOB. What's to weigh in on that Ask Amy column? Hey, Mark, what you got for us?
Hey, Todd, I think you're a little bit wrong, just a little bit. I think the uncle should have given the birthday, the wedding gift. I really do. And I think the wedding gift should have been the $1,000 in the niece's name as a donation to the Trump campaign.
Oh, golly. Mark, that... That's beautiful.
Have a great day, Todd.
Mark, that's beautiful. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Maryland. Victor on the line. Hey, Victor, what's on your mind?
Okay. Uncle Dave has passed away. It's the reading of the will. And to my family, who ostracized me those many years ago when I was not invited to the wedding, I leave you absolutely nothing. All my wealth will go to, and you fill in a conservative charity or organization.
Victor, I love this. You guys are incredibly creative. I will say this, though. Uncle Dave actually turned out pretty darn good in all of this. You know, he didn't have to pick the fish or the chicken or the whatever. You know, he didn't have to sit through, you know, all of the receptions and all of that kind of stuff. And he's got $1,000 extra in the bank account.
Yeah.
I say good for Uncle Dave.
Yes, definitely.
All right, Victor, good hearing from you. Mark and Victor, they nailed it. All right, coming up, folks, we're going to be taking your calls. Also, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Man, is she a fierce governor, and we've got a great story to share with you. Also, a couple of other crazy pieces we're working on, including the left and their hatred for America. That's all coming up. In the meantime, head over to toddstearns.com and sign up for our free newsletter and our free podcast. More than 1 million people a month now downloading our podcast, and we are really thankful for that. But check that out. You're going to love it. And while you're over there, also check out the Todd Starnes store. We have T-shirts, coffee mugs, great ball caps, all sorts of great stuff for the deplorable American in your life. All right, stick around, everybody. Hour 3 of the big show coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hello, everybody. I hope you're doing well. Happy day after Independence Day. A lot going on. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. Hang tight. But I have a question for you. There's some great video out there about a DoorDash, and it involves a DoorDash pizza delivery guy. And the guy was very upset and cursed out a guy, a family, for the tip he received. So here's the deal. So the pizza was like $20 or something like that. And yeah, it was a $20 pizza. And so the guy tipped the delivery guy $5, which is what, about that's a 25% tip. So that's a pretty good tip, right? I mean, you're tipping 25%. The average tip, by the way, according to TripAdvisor, is between 15 and 20%. Now, the driver, the DoorDash guy, was very upset over this, and he felt like he was due a tip of at least $10, which at that point would have been a 50% tip. Now, how many of you people out there, when you're going out for a meal, you're tipping the waiter 50%? If you're doing that on a regular basis, then you're not going to be eating out a whole lot more, right? Because it's getting out of control. So anyway, this is a conversation on Fox News, and a bunch of the Fox anchors were really upset about this. And they're catching fire because they're saying, hey, look, this is insane. This is out of control. So my question to you, as somebody who goes out to dinner, have you noticed this being a problem? I will say this, that with DoorDash, I've stopped using DoorDash. Maybe once in a blue moon, I'll utilize their service. But the problem is DoorDash it costs just as much to have your food delivered as it does to go out and just go through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. But sometimes when you're swamped, you're on deadline, you're in a hurry, you don't have time to run out and grab something, so you go, okay, I'll just order it. But I stopped doing that because I noticed that I was literally paying more money to have it delivered than the actual food itself. In other words, a $10 order and the delivery fee on top of that $10 would have been $12 to $15. And at that point, you're like, what is the point of all of this? But anyway, I was at a restaurant the other day, and I noticed something very interesting. I didn't even see this. Someone in my party had to point this out to me because I have been blessed, and I am very thankful for that. Every single day, I am blessed. And whenever I go out to dinner, I typically will tip the check. That is just something that I am able to do, and I'm honored to do it. And I'm not saying that to be boastful, but I'm trying to make a point here. So anyway, I'm about to do my traditional just times two, and there's your tip. And then someone pointed out, wait a second, the tip was already factored in, and it was a 20% tip. Now, for me, it's the principle of the matter. I should be the one to decide how much to tip. And if you are actually coming in as a restaurant owner and you're writing in a 20% tip automatically, why don't you just factor that into what you charge for your food? Why are you passing on that expense to the customers? Because again, the whole point of a tip is to honor good service or great service. And I just think it hurts you as a business when you force people to tip, even if you have bad service. But apparently this is becoming a big deal now. And again, why not just go ahead and charge people what you need to charge people so that you can pay your workers what they need to be paid? Why is that such a difficult concept? 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. So a lot of people wanting to weigh in on this cocaine story that's breaking out of the White House. In a few moments, we're going to have the White House press briefing. And Dylan, if we can keep an eye on that, because I'm fairly certain that Corinne Jean-Pierre, KJP, is going to be asked that question. Let's go to Kathy in Oregon, listening to us on the great KYKN radio. Hi, Kathy. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Okay, so... Everybody's talking about it being a leak because they want him out. Couldn't it just be even worse than that? Couldn't it be a plant if it was in such a secure location in the White House?
Could be. Again, if you are going to set somebody up, and I think ultimately this is about forcing Joe's hand, and yeah. Joe's not getting the message that he can't run in 2024. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it past somebody just to plant some, a dime bag of cocaine. Yeah, that's possible.
Because you've got to have some credentials to get too deep into the White House, right?
Oh.
Into secure locations. So, somebody that doesn't get their bag checked.
Absolutely. And everybody's bag gets checked. And even if you have you have certain badges and certain levels of badges. Now, when I would work at the White House, I was the fill-in for our regular guy, so I had to go in and get a pass every single day and had to turn that pass in. There are others who have hard passes that don't have to do that. This is an easy solution here, Kathy. They already know what happened. The question is, what is the narrative they're going to be spoon-feeding to the media today?
Who knows? I don't know. But I just think that, if it was a leak, it was probably a plant. I mean, if they really want him out of there, why not? Nothing else stops them.
That's it. No, Kathy, that's it. But Biden's not getting the message, and I guarantee you the missus is pushing all of this. She is guilty of elder abuse, is what Jill Biden is doing. She is not a good person. And I guarantee you that she's also pushing the whole you're gonna just disown the love child. I think she's behind it all.
Well, I don't know.
That's why we speculate here, Kathy. So I appreciate. Go ahead.
I think it's Hussein.
So. Barack Hussein Obama? Yeah. All right. I don't doubt that at all. It might have come from his personal stash. Who knows? All right, Kathy, appreciate that call. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Charlie in Missouri. Hey, Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, congratulations on 6 years. It's a great talk show. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that, Charlie.
But my question is, and I haven't heard him say much about it, isn't there security cameras in there that would catch somebody planting something?
Charlie, this is the best question that has been asked today. And the answer is absolutely. There are cameras everywhere in that building.
That's what I thought.
So they know who did it.
That's what I think, too. They're just hiding it now.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the end game here is, Charlie?
Well, I think I agree with the fact, you two as well, that there's a plant letting them know that Joe's not going to be able to run this.
Oh, I think we got a bad connection with Charlie there. But, yeah, Charlie, unfortunately, we've got a super bad connection there. But I get your point. And, again, ladies and gentlemen, none of this is happening in a vacuum. Just keep that in mind. None of this is happening in a vacuum. All right. By the way, I've got to play Rob Schmidt, our good friend over at Newsmax. He nailed it. Cut number 14.
Welcome back. Time now for news from the left. And boy, do we have a good one to start with. There's no way of knowing how it got there or whose it is. But it appears that cocaine has been found at the White House. And it wouldn't be a thumping July 4th weekend without Hunter Biden ripping lines off of a bust of Teddy Roosevelt. A mysterious white powder was discovered in the West Wing on Sunday, prompting a hazardous materials call to the fire department. I wish I was making this up, but it's true. Newsmax can confirm the powder is presumed by the fire department to be cocaine. It was sent to a lab for further analysis. Hunter, I can tell you, was at the White House on Friday, leaving with his father for Camp David. Sadly, he may have forgotten his party favors, which is unfortunate. Imagine having to hang out with Joe Biden for 4 days sober. Now, that's a long weekend.
Well, that's true. Unless they put a little droplet or two in Joe Biden's porridge to get him up and at it for the day. I mean, that could be. And that could explain his weird behavior at the White House yesterday on the stage where he was just lost. It's just really sad. Just unfortunate. By the way, our good buddy Paul Shanklin is back at it again. Cut number 10, please.
Did an alien really become president and change the course of history forever? Is there a link between the White House and the recent discovery of interplanetary vehicles? Does Barack Obama have powers from beyond? Find out as Area 51 Pictures presents The Day the Truth Stood Still. In 2008, a complete unknown without a verifiable personal history runs for President of the United States.
Senator, are you from Chicago, Hawaii, Indonesia, or Kenya?
You're not even close. Easily defeating Hillary Clinton without a resume, Barack is chosen as the leader of the formerly free world.
I do solemnly swear to always sometimes follow the Constitution, things that I agree with, and the Bill of Rights, except for that pesky Second Amendment, so help me Lenin.
Even as he is sworn in, his influence somehow spreads to control the people, the press, and the Nobel Prize Committee.
Hey, thanks for the Peace Prize.
After 8 long years of destroying everything from marriage to the FBI, Barack leaves the White House only to return 4 years later, running his rusty old robot, Joe Biden.
Klaatu, Barada, Nikto, Joe.
It looks like he's just now learning how to walk.
Or he forgot how.
Flanked by his trusty VP, Kamala, Joe begins destroying what little Obama left behind.
We will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work together on.
Joe, that artificial intelligence thing, it isn't working out so well.
Why?
Will an extraterrestrial being continue to ignore truth, reality, and the Constitution? Will Joe fall on his face again and again? Will intelligent life be found inside the White House? See for yourself in The Day the Truth Stood Still. Coming to a primary season near you.
All right, folks, some news that should not surprise you, but the new numbers are out, and Newsmax is, it's just unbelievable the size the audience is getting over there. More Americans, millions, now turning to Newsmax for the real news that you can trust. Newsmax, by the way, doing a national poll. They're asking if the Trump indictment is legitimate or just a political act. You can text the word Trump to 39747. That's Trump to 39747, and you can vote right away. Make sure your voice is heard. Newsmax, now America's fastest growing cable news channel. So be sure to tune in now for the latest on Trump and the 2024 election. And be sure to vote in their brand new poll. Text Trump to 39747 and let your voice be heard. All right. By the way, have you seen the new movie by Jim Caviezel, Sound of Freedom? This movie is blowing up at the box office, selling out in theaters all over America. And people are just shocked by the film. By the way, Jim Caviezel, the star, says faith is under attack. And he says that we've got some big problems in this country, which is at the heart of this anti-child trafficking thriller, which is already, I mean, it is open to more than $11 million at the box office. It's blowing everybody away. In the meantime, the brand new Indiana Jones film, and I know this is a shock for a lot of people, it's been a complete flop. They're actually calling it a bomb. And why is that? Well, I will tell you why. It's because the people that now run Disney are woke as all get out. And the people that are in charge of the Indiana Jones franchise have completely lost sight of what Indiana Jones was supposed to be about. I mean, the last couple of Indiana Jones movies were all woke. It's really unfortunate. But if they would maybe get back to the basics, just maybe, they would be producing some box office blockbusters. Instead of duds, instead of bombs. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I want to go back and play some audio. There are a lot of people very upset at America right now. Many of these people celebrate Juneteenth, but they don't want to celebrate America. They hate our country. Cut number one.
A flag outside of somebody's house. I just automatically assume you racist.
Almost definitely. But we felt that way for years. Like, I'm 51. And even as a kid, we knew. It was understood. If there was an American flag at their house, they some racist white. That's just what it was. I thought everybody thought that or knew that. It's funny to see that they're saying it now and it's like it's kind of new. But no. Yeah, been thinking about that. Thought that forever.
All right, those are two black women, and we had to bleep out a lot of that, but she was basically calling you people white-ass mother fornicators. That's pretty much what they were calling you there. And then there's this young lady, cut number five.
So I've been thinking about how weird it is in America. We see American flags everywhere, and it's not like that in other countries. So I decided to count how many flags I see on my 8-minute drive from here, the bank, to Petco. To start, I already see two. One's here at the bank. Other one's at the cemetery across the street. It's behind the trees, but one at the car wash. One at Andy's. One at the bank and Burger King. They got their own.
Someone's out.
And of course there's one at the church from literally the Jesus Camp documentary.
That's where this happened, by the way. And this.
One at Lion's Choice. Got one at Red Lobster and one at the car wash. Big one right there.
That was 12 flags in 8 minutes. And I know I missed some. Does that not seem weird?
Well, only if you live in an un-American part of the country. It sounds like this young lady is fortunate enough to live in a part of the country that actually loves America and understands that we're the most exceptional nation on the planet. But again, the problem here, folks, is that we've raised a generation of young people to hate our country. And we're going to have to, it's going to take some time to undo that. But in the meantime, you've got these people that are literally triggered by the red, white, and blue. All right, coming up, Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders goes to war with atheists. This is going to be a lot of fun. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. We're waiting for the White House press briefing to get underway. So, guys, just let me know when we get word of that. So I have to tell you about this story involving our good friend Sarah Sanders, who is the governor of Arkansas. So Sarah has three young kids, and she and her husband are raising their kids in a Christian household. And, of course, because she is the governor, she lives in the governor's mansion. So anyway, the kids decided they wanted to do some sidewalk artwork, you know, the chalk, where they do the chalk drawings. And so the kids went out into the driveway there at the governor's mansion, and they created this really a lovely piece of art. It was a white cross, and it was surrounded by colorful stained glass window patterns. And we've got a picture of it up on our website, toddstearns.com. And the governor, she shared a photograph of it, as any proud mom would do. She says, so proud of how hard the kids worked and how well their masterpiece turned out. Well, that enraged this group called Americans United. And the full title of this group, Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. There's no such thing. All right, folks, there's no such thing as separation of church and state. It is not in our founding documents, that phrase. But anyway, these folks fight against public expressions of the Christian faith, and they were enraged over this. So they accused the governor of violating the U.S. Constitution by letting her kids create chalk drawings at the governor's mansion. And their argument is, this is a taxpayer-funded building. Yes, but it is also their home. And my question to Americans United, are they suggesting that the kids not be allowed to say grace before their meals because they live at the governor's mansion, or the kids are not going to be allowed to say bedtime prayers? Are they going to send in the Arkansas State Troopers to stop the children from praying at bedtime simply because they live in the governor's mansion? Don't be a moron. So anyway, Americans United goes on to write this. We're fighting to defend church-state separation. We must always reject Christian nationalism. So this goes back to these never Trump woke Americans who are out there saying that if your church is proud to be in America, that you're somehow a sinner, or that you're guilty of Christian nationalism. Well, I say guilty as charged. What's wrong with Christian nationalism? Somebody want to explain that one to me? By the way, I don't hear these people raising one complaint when you've got the Mexican Americans during Cinco de Mayo. And they're, what are they doing? They're waving their flags. Nobody's got a problem with that, but God forbid you embrace Old Glory on American soil in the United freaking States of America. Somehow that becomes a problem. People get very enraged over that. Or what about the South African flag? People don't mind flying that over here. But God forbid American citizens on American soil fly our flag. Somehow that becomes, you're a Christian nationalist. I'm a Christian. I love my country. If that makes me a Christian nationalist, guilty as charged. Anyway, Americans United says the display is unconstitutional because they're favoring Christianity. No, the governor happens to be a Christian. So what's the problem? Anyway, in any other situation, you would have the Republican governors freaking out over this. And Governor Sanders actually replied to Americans United. She says, I have received your letter, and my answer is no. I'm not going to erase the beautiful cross my kids drew in chalk on the driveway. I'm not going to remove my post on social media, and I will not now or ever hide that I am a Christian. Good for you, Governor. She goes on to say, in Arkansas, we stand up to bullying liberals. We won't let you power wash our kids' chalk drawings off our front steps. We're not going to let you tear down our Christmas decorations and stomp on our traditions into the dirt. We don't live our lives in fear of strongly worded letters coming down from Washington. Good for you. Good for you, Governor. And that, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is how we're supposed to approach these far leftists. Fight back. Don't bow down. Period. That's it. All right. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, over the long holiday, a federal judge from Louisiana, of all places, weighed in on the Biden administration working in conjunction with social media sites to target conservatives. And we all know this has been going on. And a federal judge on Tuesday actually restricted the Biden administration from communicating with social media platforms about online content. Now, the New York Slimes and the Washington Compost and all of those organizations are enraged because they're saying, wait a second, this is going to hurt us because the conservatives are going to be able to have their say about stuff and we have no intervention. That's right. At least you can read the judge's ruling. Judge Terry Doty of the U.S. District Court said that parts of the government, including the Department of Health and Human Services, the FBI, were now banned from talking to social media companies for the purpose of urging, encouraging, pressuring, or inducing in any manner the removal, deletion, suppression, or reduction of content containing protected free speech. Now, this is a preliminary injunction. But this is really shocking that you have social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube that were told to take down right-leaning content in collaboration with the government. So, folks, it was not a conspiracy. This was not some sort of a harebrained thing. This was actually happening. And now the federal judge is coming in, and he's saying, yeah, we're not going to tolerate this kind of nonsense anymore. And the people over at CNN freaked out over this. Cut 13.
Trump appointed judge, but this judge was confirmed 98-0 by the Senate. Just reading the words in this injunction, a, quote, massive effort by the defendants to suppress speech based on content. Those are the judge's words, calling the present case, quote, arguably involves the most massive attack against free speech in the United States history, Ellie.
Yeah. It's a dramatic decision by this judge. If you read through it, he's citing to literature and George Washington and Ben Franklin. Here's what really is astonishing to me. This is a conservative ideology that clearly comes through in this decision. It's a conservative political ideology, right? We saw some of the quotes questioning vaccines, questioning masks, conservative talking points. But the ruling itself is the opposite of judicial conservatism. This is one of the most aggressive, far-reaching rulings you'll ever see. What this judge is purporting to do is to micromanage, really, the day-to-day interactions between essentially the entire executive branch, all these agencies that are listed as defendants, and the leading social media companies. And in the actual temporary injunction, the judge basically says, you're not allowed, administration, to talk to these social media companies about any protected free speech except for cybersecurity threats, national security threats, criminal threats. But where's the line? Who's going to police this?
All right. Well, you know what? Nobody's supposed to police it. You don't go. The government doesn't go in, and the government doesn't tell Facebook or YouTube or Google or anybody else what they should and should not allow on their sites. Period. That's it. All right, I think we've got the White House press briefing underway. Let's dip into some of that.
To refer you to the Secret Service on all of this, but one thing that I can share that I'll share a little bit more information. As you know, the president and the first lady and their family were not here this weekend, as you all reported on this, and as you also know that they left on Friday and returned just yesterday. Where this was discovered is a heavily traveled area where many White House West Wing, I should be even more specific, West Wing visitors come through this particular area. I just don't have anything more to share. It is under investigation by the Secret Service. This is in their purview, and so we're going to allow certainly the investigation to continue. And we have confidence that the Secret Service will get to the bottom of this. Go ahead.
Has the president said, hey, let's get to the bottom of what happened here?
Well, I just said that we have confidence that the Secret Service is going to get to the bottom of this. As you all know, the president follows all the reporting here, and he certainly was briefed by his staff on everything that we know so far. But the Secret Service is investigating this, is investigating what happened over the weekend, and we have confidence that they will get to the bottom of this.
Secondly, is there still a chance that Sweden will be approved into NATO by the time of next week's summit?
So look, this is something that the president, as you know, the Sweden Prime Minister is here. They're currently meeting as we speak right now in the Oval Office, as some of your colleagues, maybe yourself, Steve, was able to be in the Oval Office. So look, I mean, we've been very clear on this. We've encouraged Turkey and Hungary to approve Sweden's application for NATO membership as soon as possible. Sweden, and I said this last week, I've said this many times, has fulfilled the commitments they made under the trilateral memorandum of agreement. They had agreed to win to with Finland and Turkey on the margins of the NATO summit in Madrid just last year, about a year ago. Sweden is a strong, capable defense partner that shares NATO's values and will strengthen the alliance and contribute to European security. And so we believe that this should occur, that their partnership into them to become members in NATO as soon as possible, and that's what you'll continue to hear from the president. I think the Sweden Prime Minister being here today, having a meeting with the president, certainly shows that commitment.
Okay. Thanks, Reid. Just two quick follow-ups. You said the president has been briefed on the cocaine that was found at the White House. Is the White House conducting its own internal investigation?
This is something that's under the purview of the Secret Service. They're the ones who handle this investigation, so it lives in their purview, in their world.
And then just a quick follow-up on this type of tour. Can you explain to the American people who would have access to the West Wing on this type of tour and what kind of protocols are in place?
So look, when it comes to security protocol, that's something that the Secret Service certainly is going to handle, and so that is a question for them. When it comes to visitors to the West Wing, they come for many reasons. Obviously, we do have West Wing tours that occur here on campus. They happen in this particular past couple of days. They happened on Friday. They happened on Saturday and Sunday. The times that they do not happen is when there's a federal holiday, like yesterday. There was not a West Wing tour. And also when there's a large White House event. So I don't have anything more to share on the particulars. Again, when it comes to security, when it comes to anything of those types of protocols, it is something that Secret Service handles. Okay, Rujia.
Thanks, Taryn.
And congratulations.
Thank
Should
you.
I call you President Rujia?
I appreciate it. Sure.
I was waiting. I was like, okay, that went over the head or got missed.
Not my turn. It's not my turn.
One president at a time, Rujia.
Eventually.
Incoming president, maybe.
We just agreed. I wonder if the cocaine episode has prompted the White House to ask the Secret Service to review its security protocol for visitors coming in.
So let's go. Let them do their investigation. Again, this is under their purview. Let's see exactly what occurred and what happened. They're going to get to the bottom of this. They, meaning the Secret Service, not going to get ahead of any changes in protocol or anything like that. Let's let the Secret Service do their job, which we believe and have all the confidence that they will get to the bottom of this.
This episode kind of shines a light on the fact that you can bring in illegal substances into the White House. So what's preventing a visitor from bringing in anthrax or something that's not magnetic into the White House.
Wow. Weijia, I totally understand the question, but it is under investigation. We're going to get to the bottom to exactly what happened. The Secret Service will, not us. And so we're going to let the Secret Service do their job. I'm just not going to get ahead of if or whens or changes. We just have to let the Secret Service do their job, which they are. You're welcome. Okay.
Thanks, Reed. Can you just tell us how the White House is assisting the Secret Service with this investigation? Have you made any White House officials available for interviews with law enforcement, for example?
Well, look, we're not assisting in anything. This is under the Secret Service purview. This is their kind of guidance and guideline, their world, and so we're going to let them do their job. We are not involved in this. This is something that the Secret Service handles. It's under their protocol, and they are going to investigate and get to the bottom of what happened this weekend, and we appreciate that.
And you noted that this is an area where visitors on tour groups often pass by, so is that the working theory right now, that it was likely a visitor, and are you confident that this was not a White House staffer?
There is investigation. They're going to get to the bottom of this. What I wanted to be very clear is that this is a heavily traveled, to be more accurate, area of the campus of the White House, and it is where visitors to the West Wing come through. This is the part where they come through when it comes to coming through the West Wing. I just don't have anything else. I'm not going to speculate on who it was, but just wanted to make that very clear and give you all a little bit more information. I believe the Secret Service is also sharing this as well.
Thanks. And then on another topic.
All right, enough of that. We'll get back to it. Wow, they're actually asking questions. She's not giving them any information. By the way, Politico is now saying this was just a small amount of cocaine, as if that makes some sort of a difference. And they also say that the cocaine was found in a highly trafficked area of the White House. Well, clearly that's true. They were trafficking a lot of stuff down through that part of the White House. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So the White House is referring everything to the Secret Service, so they're not going to comment at all. And Politico is now reporting that the fact is we may never, ever know who did this. So that's their argument. Well, that's a load of hooey, because we know that there are so many surveillance cameras in that building. They know who did it. They may not want to tell us who did it, but they know who did it. So again, I'm going back to my original premise, and my theory here is this was all a setup. So the powers that be, and that would be Barack Hussein Obama and Susan Rice, the powers that be are trying to force Joe Biden to announce that he will not run for re-election. And I think Biden's in on this. I think that's one of the reasons why Biden is taking his son everywhere with him. There are two theories here. That's one of them, is that Biden knows that they're trying to go after him, and Biden is showing, he is affirming that he loves his son, and his son still has a place. Theory number two is that Hunter is back on the coke, and Biden is keeping him super close to make sure he doesn't go off on some sort of a bender where he's driving 172 miles an hour in a Maserati in Las Vegas smoking a crack pipe, which he has done before. So that could be a secondary theory here. But it's not looking good for Joe Biden. So don't be surprised if this does not work. If Biden says, I'm still running for the White House, there will be more incidents like this. Now, do I believe that Barack Obama physically planted the cocaine in the White House? No, I don't think so. But you never know. I mean, anything's possible. But I don't think he did. But somebody did. Somebody who wants Biden out of the race. And I love what Monica Crowley said earlier on in the program today, that Donald Trump is prepared for all contingencies. So if Biden's in the race, there's a plan. If Hillary's in the race, there's a plan. If Michelle Obama is in the race, there's a plan. So don't worry, folks. Trump's got it all under control. All right, we got to scoot out of here. It's been a crazy day, and we're going to follow all of the developments coming out of Washington. Tomorrow, folks, another fine, fine show as we celebrate 6 years of broadcasting border to border, coast to coast across the Fruited Plain. You get out there and have a great day, America.